Nick Ross. I was a journalist and broadcaster at the time, and I was asked to play Nick Ross, a journalist and broadcaster at the time, and that's what I did. Remember how I came to be in Are You Being Served? I suspect it was a rather banal thing that, you know, I had an agent at the time. Somebody contacted the agent. The agent contacted me and said, do you want to do this? And I think it was just sort of a thing that was patched on to existing commitment somewhere. And lo and behold, 30, 40 years later, it's become one of the things I seem to be most famous for, extraordinarily. Before I agreed to do it, I wanted to see the script, wanted to see what I was supposed to be doing. And essentially, it was like this. Mr. Spooner, I'm trying to remember his name. Is it Bert Spooner? Something like that. Bert Spooner is one of the people who was in the shot, but eternally late. And they were going to fire Mr. Spooner. But it turned out that at the staff, they'd had some sort of talent contest. And Bert Spooner had been a really good act, backed by a lot of the others in men's and women's clothing. And at the point where they're about to fire him, or I can't remember, perhaps demote him as a lift attendant or something like that, a record company had a talent spotter who was at the staff show and signed him up for a record contract. And the story went that then the local news, TV news, wanted to interview Spooner and thought, well, why doesn't he do the record, which was Chanson d'Amour, live in the local TV studio? So I was the TV anchor. I was the host who welcomed Bert and the ensemble into the TV studio. And there, predictably, the whole thing went completely wrong. He lost his voice. Whoever it was who was queuing up a record, which was a backup, put it on a double speed, and the whole thing finished in complete farce. So far as I can recall, and this is a long, long time ago, it was done at Television Centre in Shepherd's Bush, which is where almost all the programmes that I did at the time came from. So I was doing breakfast television at the time. I was doing a crime appeal show, Crime Watch. I think I was doing a law program called Out of Court, Man Alive, all the sorts of stuff I was doing on TV. Nearly all of those were coming out of Television Centre anyway. So it was simply a matter of going from one studio into another studio, except I must say this one was rather more fun than our news and current affairs ones tended to be. As far as I can tell, remember, there was no live audience. It was just us in the studio. Not you, a heck of a lot of us, because there was a whole cast, there were lots of technicians, so there was a whole bunch of people there. And it was, I can't recall if it was all done as one continuous run, because a lot of the stuff, even if it's recorded, is recorded as live, as it were. I can't even remember if we did two or three takes of it, or whether my little bits were done separately. But as far as I recall, it was one take, I mean, the whole thing. So, you know, obviously they'd rehearsed this pretty well, and the whole thing ran as a single take. I mean, to tell you the truth, you know, I was a bit of an anorak, and I was much more interested in factual programs and documentaries and so forth at the time. So I wasn't a huge fan. Of course, I knew the show, but I didn't know the characters intimately. But, you know, some of them, Molly Sugden, for example, was a, you know, an exemplary comic actress of the time. So I knew them, but not well enough. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a massive thrill as it would have been sort of A-list Hollywood stars. It was, I do remember it, a lot of fun, genuine fun. The one thing that I like in retrospect about the series is you sort of couldn't make it now. I mean, this was end of the peer stuff. It was before political correctness. It was before, it was the time of Cavaliers before the Roundheads came in. And you had all the double entendres. You had Molly Sugden's cat, always known as her pussy. You had John Inman saying he was going to change all the prices in menswear, and he was going to pull down his trousers and display his wide fronts, and all this sort of, you know, smutty. One could say not very sophisticated, but nonetheless, you know, actually rather enjoyable old-fashioned stuff. And I think one of the things I do like it in retrospect is it was probably rather stale at the time, actually. I mean, I don't mean to be unfair to Jeremy Lloyd and David Croft, who wrote it. And they obviously wrote it brilliantly, but it wasn't particularly original at the time. Looking back, though, what should be stale has a sort of freshness, because you couldn't do it now. As for which of the characters, Molly Sugden is such, or was, sadly died now, such a brilliant performer. She sort of dominated the whole thing so well. I suppose if I was to choose anyone, it would be John Inman, because his Mr. Humphreys was neither quite heterosexual nor homosexual, neither one thing nor the other. But actually, we all knew he was gay. And it was at a time when homophobia was quite open. And I thought it was great, this portrayal. I mean, I know some people would say it's a stereotype, but then there were all stereotypes. The heterosexuals were stereotypes as well, hence, you know, what I was just saying about Mrs. Slocum's pussy, all that sort of stuff. I sort of admired that character. I liked the character. There was no shying away from it. I think it'd be hard to do that today. I don't know, maybe it wouldn't. But I suppose if I had to choose one, it would be John Inman. Yeah, the truth of it is, you know, if you're make a guest performance, it's not a big deal for them and for the cast. You know, they've got this huge process, this oil tanker, as it were, that's surging through the oceans. And you just pop in on a little boat and a launch and then disappear again. So I never met Jeremy Lloyd or David Croft. Admire them, though, I did. But they weren't there at the recording. Or if they were, I certainly didn't see them there. With hindsight, I rather wish I had, because, of course, the episode I was in, by chance, I don't think I killed it, I hope not, but it was the last, as far as I know, the very, very last of this long-running series. So I wish I had met them, but I didn't. Certainly no bloopers, nothing went wrong during the recording. In fact, perhaps the most extraordinary thing about it is what is portrayed on the screen is utter chaos. But it's so well rehearsed. It's done with utmost professionalism. It just goes like clockwork. People don't corpse, although, I mean, you know, I was tending to and had to really contain myself. It was very, very professional. And so, you know, far from bloopers, far from things going wrong, it just sailed through.